We're very happy to see your presence this morning. We have a good number out, and we're happy that you're here, especially the visitors. We welcome you, and we're glad that you're with us this morning. Appreciate the good singing, the good songs, the prayer. Had a good Bible study, Brother Ron, and a good lesson with Brother Jeff concerning Christ the King. We know that millions of people are being deceived today and thinking that the kingdom has not yet been established. Where there's a king, there must be a kingdom, and of course Christ is the king over his kingdom, the church. We'd like to study this morning on the subject, things morally right, but religiously wrong. We notice that Cornelius in Acts 10 and verse 2 was a devout man, one that feared God with all his house. He gave much alms to the people. He prayed to God always. And so Cornelius was a moral man. Yes, before his conversion, before he was baptized, he was a devout man. He feared God. He gave alms to the people. Religion and morality. Many people believe that being moral is being religious or a Christian. A person may live a clean, moral life. He might be a good father. He might be good to his children. He may obey the laws of the land. He might be a good citizen. He may live a clean life. He may not drink. He may not smoke and do a lot of things. But this does not make him a Christian simply because he is moral. Morality alone does not constitute the religion of Christ. As we said, Cornelius was moral, a good man, but he was not yet a Christian until he obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Also, many believe that if a thing is moral, that it may be incorporated into the worship of the church. If it's moral, if it's right, then you can have it in the worship, you can have it in the church. They don't seem to realize that there's certain things that an individual person can do that the church cannot do. God has specified certain things for individuals and certain things for the church or the congregation to do. People asked about something they can't find anything wrong with, and they say, well, why don't you use this? Or why can't we do that? There's nothing wrong with it. Why can't we do it? Well, is it authorized by Jesus Christ? Has he specified that the church do these things? The reason is that some things may be morally right, but religiously wrong. This is a Bible principle. We notice that Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, committed a sin. What they did was morally right. They used fire, they burned fire. But they didn't obey what God commanded them to do. In Leviticus 10, verse 1 and 2, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, put fire therein, and put incense thereon, offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And so God has specified the kind of fire that they were to use in this offering. And they didn't obey God. God devoured them. He destroyed them because what they did was not right, wasn't what he asked them to do. There's nothing immoral about having a fire. God had told them where this fire was to come from. In Leviticus 16 and verse 12, And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And so they were to get this fire from the burning coals of fire off of the altar. And so Nadab and Abihu did not follow the instruction of God. They didn't obey God. There's nothing wrong, morally wrong, with fire, but they didn't do as God commanded them to do. These men offered to God something morally right, but religiously wrong. Moses and the rock. When Moses was leading the children of Israel in the wilderness, Moses disobeyed God. Yes, he had led the children of Israel to the wilderness of Zin. There was no water there, so they complained against Moses. In Numbers 20, verses 6 through 12, and Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother. Speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring the congregation into the land which I have given them. And so God tells Moses at that time to speak to the rock. And Moses smote the rock twice. We notice in Exodus 17 and 6 that at that time God did tell Moses to smite the rock. He says, behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. Thou shalt smite the rock. There shall come out water out of it, that the people may drink. Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And so before, God had told him to smite the rock. But when he disobeyed God, God had told him to speak to the rock. And he smote the rock twice. Well, there's nothing morally wrong with smiting the rock or speaking to the rock. But he didn't follow the instruction of God. God said he wanted something different now in Deuteronomy 20 and verse 8. He says, you speak to the rock. Moses offered to God something morally right, but religiously wrong. He didn't follow the instructions of God. He didn't do what God commanded him to do. We know that hamburgers and Cokes are morally right, but religiously wrong. Nothing wrong with you eating hamburgers or steak or whatever you want to eat and drink pop or milk or juices. Nothing wrong with it. There's nothing immoral about eating meat or drinking soda pop. We notice in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 4, for every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. And so God doesn't forbid us eating meats and drinking certain drinks. However, the Lord has authorized in the Lord's Supper that we use unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. And so we're not to have hamburger and pop for the Lord's Supper. It may be morally right for you to eat hamburgers and drink pop, but when it comes to our worship to God, He has specified that we have the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. In Luke 22, verse 17 through 19, He took the cup, He gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And He took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And so we're to eat the bread, the unleavened bread. Yes, Jesus started the Lord's Supper when they were observing the Passover. At the Passover, they were not allowed to have any leavening. And so we know that their bread was unleavened bread. And He used the fruit of the vine, the grape juice, in instituting the supper. It's religiously wrong to use hamburgers and Cokes or anything else except unleavened bread and fruit of the vine on the Lord's table. Yes, we must follow the instructions of God's Word. Also, anointing oneself is morally right, but religiously wrong. There's nothing immoral about using ointments or perfumes. In Proverbs 27 and verse 9, "Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel." Yes, in Matthew 6:17, "But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, wash thy face." And so as an individual, there's nothing wrong with you anointing your head with oil or anointing someone else. Nothing wrong with it. It's morally right. But when it comes to our religion and worship to God, in our assembly, we don't go around anointing someone's head with oil because it's not specified in our worship to God. The Lord has not authorized their use in the worship of the New Testament church. In Mark 6, verse 13, "And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them." And so they used oil many times for the sick and healing of the sick. In John 12 and verse 3, "Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair. The house was filled with the odor of ointment." And so before the burial, they anointed the bodies. But God has not specified that in the assembly or in our worship to God that we anoint one another with oil or perfumes. It's religiously wrong to use anointing oil with a religious significance or impose such upon others for religious purposes. Also, instrumental music is morally right, but religiously wrong. At home, when you're out somewhere, you can play an instrument all you want to. You can play the drums, a bugle, or whatever. But when we assemble to worship God, God has specified that we sing and not play a mechanical instrument of music. There's nothing immoral about playing a mechanical instrument. Many Christians have instruments in their home and play those instruments. In 1 Samuel 16 and verse 23, "And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, David took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him." And so David played the harp for Saul, and it refreshed him. There's nothing wrong with it. The Lord has not authorized their use in the worship of the New Testament church. Jesus specified the kind of music that we're to use. It's always vocal. In Ephesians 5:19, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord." Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Every time it's singing. The early church did not use mechanical instruments of music. In 1 Corinthians 14 and 15, what is it then? I'll pray with the Spirit, I'll pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, I'll sing with the understanding also. In Hebrews 2:12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And so it's religiously wrong to add instrumental music to the worship of God and singing praises. Jesus did not authorize the use of instrumental music in worship of the church. Instrumental music was first brought into the church, the apostate church, in 666 A.D. by the first pope, or the pope at that time. Yes, Paul warned there would be a departure from the faith, a falling away. And that's when the mechanical instrument was brought in by the Pope at that time, in 666. Also, Christians eating together is morally right, but religiously wrong. There's nothing immoral about Christians eating together. It's good when Christians get together and eat a meal. In Acts 2 and verse 46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and singleness of heart. And so here, the early church in the beginning, they break bread, they ate from house to house. They had their meals. The Lord has not authorized the local church to call the saints together to eat a common meal as a religious exercise. Yes, when the church comes together, when we worship God, it's not to eat a meal. That's not the purpose of the church. The only meal that we're authorized to eat at our worship service is the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20 through 22, therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. In eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. One is hungry, another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. And so here at Corinth, when they were eating the Lord's Supper, they were making like a common meal out of it. Yes, some were hungry, and some, it says, were drunk, or they were drinking a lot. And he says, don't you have houses to eat and drink in? And so when we have meals, we have a house, we have places that we can eat. We don't have to eat when we come together to worship God. The church can provide food for needy saints. Yes, when there's Christians that are in need and food, we can help them and give them food. In Acts 4, verse 34 and 35, nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, laid them down at the apostles' feet. They distributed to each as any one had need. And so we can help the needy, the poor saints. It is religiously wrong for the church, as the church, to organize and promote the eating of common meals. That is not a part of the work of the church, to eat meals together. That is an individual matter. Also, youth parties, ball teams, are morally right, but religiously wrong. There's nothing wrong with young people if they want to have a birthday party or something, or if they have a ball team and play ball. Nothing wrong with that. But it's not the work of the church to provide recreation and entertainment for the youth. There's nothing immoral about wholesome recreation. In Mark 6 and verse 31, and he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place, and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And so there was time when Jesus, they would go off and they would rest. No doubt this was recreation, to sit around and talk to one another. Recreation is responsibility of the home and not the church. Yes, the parents should provide recreation for the children and for the youth. In Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, thou mayest live long in the earth. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And so the father and the mother are to train and teach their children. They are to provide recreation for their children. The church has not been charged with the entertainment of the youth. We know that the denominations, many of them have their lunch, they have their halls and kitchens and all kinds of places where they provide entertainment. Well, that's not the work of the church. The church does not have authority to teach young people. The church does have authority to teach young people the gospel. Certainly we should teach the young people, but we don't have the right to provide entertainment, to build recreation halls and have ball teams and all of that kind of things. That is not the work of the church. It's religiously wrong for the church to organize and promote recreation for members of the church. This is why we have our get-togethers. It's each member, individuals, that invite other members to come to their home for a meal. The individual can and should have recreation in the home and not the church. The work of the church is to preach the gospel to the lost, that they may be saved. The work of the church is to help needy saints. The work of the church is to edify itself through the teaching and preaching of the word. These are the things that God has commanded that the work of the church is: to preach the gospel to the lost, to help needy saints, and to edify itself. In conclusion, we must learn there's a biblical principle distinguishing between things moral and things religious. Christians must be careful to observe the difference. Christ, the head of the church, has told what the individual is to do and what the church is to do. And so we must be careful that we follow the instructions of our Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus specifies that we do something, that we must do it as he has commanded. And we must not go beyond his word or fall short of it. There are many things that are morally right, but religiously wrong. Many things that an individual can do that the church is not to do. It's not the work of the church. And so let's be careful that we follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. We're not to go beyond his word. Walk by faith. Faith comes by hearing the words of Christ. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we encourage you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus gave his life. He died on the cross and shed his blood so that you might have forgiveness of your sins. It is only through his blood and death that you can be saved. Jesus said that you must have faith. He says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus said you must repent of your sins. You must confess that he is the Son of God and then be baptized, and you'll be added to the Lord's church when you obey the gospel. If you're a member, you've not been faithful, then you need to repent and confess and pray to God that he'll forgive you. And so if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we ask you to come now while we stand and sing this song of encouragement.